gold finger. He's the man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch. Such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. You feel, for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her, it's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold, this heart is cold. You feel for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her, it's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold.
Sure beats the living hell out of the James Bond movie that Nancy Sinatra did the opening piece of music from. Goldfinger. He loves gold. Good evening. It has been one strange week since I was on with you last. And not going to bore you with the whole thing. This is Jeff Bennett, Perspectives on America. And I had a very unusual weekend, and let's just say spent 18 some odd hours at the hospital, and I just wasn't feeling right, you know. I'm not going to bore you with the whole story, but I wound up getting out, came home. Slept, got up late that night, went to Denny's about 2 in the morning, Sunday morning. Came back home and started working a little about 5:30. Worked until I don't know when. And I spent the last 2 days working on a major, major project for a broadcast. And it's not that I've not done the broadcast before. We played it here on RBN about 5 years ago. And we'll talk a little bit more about it at the end of the hour because I want you to understand what and why we are doing what we're doing tomorrow. I actually have to go in and see my doctor, my cardiologist, at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, which is in the middle of showtime. So I'm going to go ahead and do this thing. Massive number of hours working on this project, and I am just so damned excited about it. And I'll explain to you a little bit why at the end of the hour tonight. And so you'd be prepared for what you're about to listen to tomorrow. A program that I recorded in, I think, April of 2002. Goldfinger. Why gold? Global debt has not been this bad since the Napoleonic Wars, people. Global debt, not just ours. The massive volumes of debt piling up around the globe have forced the president of the World Economic Forum to reach back more than 200 years for a comparable period. Overall, debt is approaching the world's total economic output. And he flat says, we've not seen this kind of debt since the Napoleonic Wars. We're getting close to 100% of global gross domestic product in debt. Of course, similarly, our Governmental Accountability Office, I love that name, accountability, they're not accountable for a damn thing. They said in a separate report released in February that the government is facing an unsustainable fiscal path that poses a serious threat to economic security and social issues if unaddressed. Oh, if unaddressed. Let me tell you one of the pieces I posted today. I'm sharing little headline stuff with you right now. We've talked about this because it ticks me off. Biden's student debt cancellation is expected to cost the U.S. taxpayers, get this, $1.4 trillion. Could cost the taxpayers that much? Well, let's see. How many people we got paying taxes in this country? Of course, then there's how many just avoid it. Well, you know, let's not worry about that. Yeah. Biden's continued plans to cancel the student debt for some borrowers expected to cost the taxpayers up to $1.4 trillion, depending on how the plans are implemented. That's more than all federal spending on higher education over the nation's entire history. And the vast majority of this debt cancellation was put in place through executive actions under Biden. It didn't get approved through Congress. Biden just sat down and did what Obama told him to do. Oh, yeah. Don't worry, Joey. You know, we'll take care of all this. You know, it's cool. And then he turns to his wife and says, our kids are going to get their education paid for. Well, if it's free, my friends, it must be for me. I mean, come on, who's zooming who here? My wife and I still pay taxes. My wife still works. Hey, legally and legitimately, I don't really work. You know. I do. Harder than she does. But she gets paid up salary for it. She's drawing her retirement funds, Social Security funds. I got Social Security. We make a few bucks here and there. We sell some gold and silver, you know. But it's crazy. The amount of money that this son of a buck is costing us at the gas pump to support and house and feed and clothe and educate these illegal invaders that keep being allowed to cross our border each and every frickin' day is sickening. It's unreal. Oh, by the way, we got another banking bust. Yeah. TD, whatever that stands for. The TD Bank has filed to shut down 20 branches this month with others slated to close. Customers are going to have to make financial changes. What does changes make? There's another branch close by? Oh, we have to leave TD and go to Chase or Wells Fargo or Bank of America. Oh, yeah. They're all closing banks down. You know, banks like TD are required to report branch closing plans to the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. 3 weeks ago, they reported 20 separate closure filings by TD. not clear when exactly those locations will shut down, but clients are going to need to find their new branch if they hope to continue in-person banking. I got a client down in the South. I think she's in Alabama or Arkansas. She only had two accounts. One was basically with a broker. And the other one was a credit union. But that credit union was very highly rated, and as time went by, they became flaky-wakey. And she doesn't have a driver's license. She doesn't have any legitimate ID. American-born, bred, raised, etc. Former broadcaster, by the way. And I was referred to her by a good personal friend of mine who lives out here in the valley. A guy that used to listen to my program back in the late 90s. Started doing a lot of work with me in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I lived up in North Phoenix. That's back in the day where my suppliers didn't ship the gold, didn't ship the silver. I'd buy, they'd ship it to me, I'd have to take it apart, repackage, etc. And my friend came out and we'd do it. We became very, very good friends. We did a lot of neat stuff together. And he referred me to this gal, and I got a funny suspicion that they might be related. Their last name is too similar. I mean, way too similar. Don't send me a text while we're on the air, Mike. You know, just questioning, you know. And she owns a home, no mortgage payment. But from what she describes to me, the house is a freaking literal mess. She's on the computer. She's doing this. She's doing that. She's writing books. She's got this, that, and the other thing going on. Doesn't have a driver's license. Walks down to the local credit union if she needs money, whatever the case may be. Well, all of a sudden, she was told because she had no ID, she couldn't get money out of her credit union. She's been with them for years. But unfortunately, you know, you get to the point that you don't know the manager, you don't know the characters behind the counter because they're all leaving. So she's an unknown commodity. So in order to do it, she gets a friend to also sign on to the bank. The ultimate goal would be that he would get all the cash out of the account and close it down and give her the cash. Last time she and I talked, she was scared to death that that might not happen, that he might get the cash and book on down the road. This is the kind of crap we're dealing with in this country, people. Unbelievable. We're supposed to trust banks. And yet, you take a look at some of the biggest banks in the country. B of A, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan the Pirate, that's Chase, and the number of people who all of a sudden have been frozen out of their accounts. Somehow people have gotten in and scammed them and gotten money out of their accounts. People depositing $14,000 in their account and can't gain access to it. This is insane. You know, I've talked about this over the years when people buy precious metals from me, gold and silver. Now, get this. My phone's ringing. I'm going to guarantee it's this chick that called yesterday. Sure it is. I can't answer the darn thing. I'm not going to. She was supposed to call me back yesterday. And, of course, she doesn't know me, doesn't know my schedule. She's wanting to verify this trip I made to the hospital and wanting to set up a doctor's appointment with my regular doctor, etc. And, of course, I can't do it. And, of course, she calls now. Unfrickin' believable. Anyway, so I've told people for years, you know, if they're buying small quantities of gold, I've got a client who once in a while likes to pick up one, two rolls of silver. There's not a lot of money in it. I'm not worried about that. It's my ability to service people's needs, what they can afford. might take a look at some of the work I've done with clients in the last almost 30 years, starting in 1995. I was in the business before that, but from the standpoint of broadcasting, etc. And I take a look at some of the work that I've done with clients and families that have spent several millions of dollars with me, not all at one time. Other people that come in and do $500, $600, $700, $1,000, maybe 2,000 at a time. Other people that come in and do 5, 10, 20, 30, whatever the case may be. And I work very hard for my clients. Do the best I can to get the lowest price I can for product. I've got a local supplier that I buy stuff from, but I've got to pay a much higher spot for silver with him than I do if I go to my big supplier. But the problem with my big supplier is I've got to wire the funds to him. That costs me $25. And then, of course, they charge, if it's a small order, it's going to cost, the client's going to pay $25 more for shipping. So there's an extra $50 my client's got to fork out. If a small order, that's not worth it. So I go to my local guy, pick the stuff up, get home, repackage it so it doesn't rattle and roll, and we ship it out. Now, you know, I get people like that pay me in money order, sometimes personal checks. You get a client that comes in and does a much larger transaction, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000. I've got an attorney I've done a lot of work with over the last 20-odd years. Typically was doing about $200,000 a year. Always paid me in cash. Not one time did either one of my banks, I was with Chase at one time and Wells Fargo right now. I'm not excited about it, but I've got a good crew of people at the branch that I work with, and they take care of me. But not one time did either one of those banks ever ask me, where'd you get this money? First of all, they knew what kind of business I was in. Not uncommon for someone in the precious metals business to pay in cash. Make their deposits in cash. And my local supplier will not accept credit cards, which is a positive we're going to talk about here shortly. And he'll take my personal check because I've done business with a company for over 30 years. But they won't take checks from the average Joe off the street. It's cash, cash, baby. No money orders, no cash, no credit cards, no debit cards. It's not allowed. So you can imagine the amount of money when things are really busy for them, as it was during COVID and the spikes in the gold and silver, the amount of money that they're depositing in cash on a continual basis to the bank. The banks don't question it. Well, here's the interesting thing. Let's say you come to me and place an order for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $100,000, whatever, send a check. Now you can go to your bank and say, I need a bank check for $100,000 or $50,000 or $20,000, whatever it happens to be. Well, the first thing is everybody at the banks are getting real nosy now. Oh, what are you buying? You tell them property. Oh, are you moving away? No, I'm just buying property. Let it go with that. It's not a freaking business. I mean, in effect, gold and silver, that's property, right? Didn't say real estate, just say property. That's all they get to know. It's not a freaking business. Well, here's the key. You go to most of these companies, like the ones who've got all the TV ads. You know, hey, get a hold of us. We'll do this hot deal for you on American Eagles, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, they're so beautiful. And, you know, you may place an order for a couple of those. And they send you a nice book that's just expensive to make and shows you all the options. And here's the reasons you need to be buying old certified $20 gold pieces instead of buying, you know, an American Eagle for $2,400, you should be buying one of these for $6,000. They'll do much, much better for you. Well, if you pay for it with a check, they're going to hold that check for 2 weeks. Why?
Well, we got to make sure it clears.
Let me tell you what. I've never had a bank hold a check of any size because of the reputation that I have. Never bounced a check that I've written. Never had a check bounced that a client wrote to me. Never. Not once. So let's say I receive your check today for $50,000, $20,000, whatever the amount is. I get that thing deposited by 5 o'clock tonight. Guess what? The check clears overnight. I either go pick up the product locally or I wire it over to my supplier. We get the stuff shipped out. That's the way we do things. That's the way it should be done. Not holding your check for 2 weeks because there might be a problem with your check. It's called greed. They're using your money to pay for somebody else's order. I mean, all the money they're having to spend to, you know, get these nice books printed and run these 30-minute commercials on television. It's ridiculous. I've watched this stuff for years. I want to vomit with it. Oh, even that company I started working for over in Sluttsdale, Arizona. Same garbage. Pay with a check. They hold your check for 2 weeks. So much deceit. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. Enough of that story for now. We covered that. We covered this. Oh, U.S. national debt has now surged $203,859,000,000 in 2 months. 2 months. The nation's heading toward a financial crisis, baby. Our balance sheet continues to expand at a scorching pace. More than $250 billion in debt added in 2 months. Oh, I said billion? Oh, God, it was trillion. New data from the Treasury Department's debt to the penny system shows the country's national debt rose from $34.297 trillion on February the 21st to $34,571,000,000,000 on April the 24th. That's 2 months. That's an increase of $273.859 billion in about 60 days. How can we keep electing the kind of fools we keep sending back to Congress? You ain't telling me Joey's spending all of that. Oh, well, wait a minute. We got money going to Israel. We got money going to Gaza or the Hamas or the Ukraine or God knows where else. It's sickening. I saw a headline yesterday that the guy that heads up the Ukraine, the sumbitch is working on a package because he wants 10 more years worth of money out of the United States to keep up his little game plan over there. Oh, I got a headline a little while ago. Apparently, Marjorie Taylor Greene lost the battle, and the Democrats have decided that they want to keep this Speaker of the House. What's the guy's name? William Wussey? I don't know what his name. I can't remember his name. I think that they put the guy up there because they know he was a weakling, and they knew that they'd be able to control him. That's why nobody fought him getting in that office. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Oh, before I forget, been a few days since I've done this, but gold and silver are both down a little bit. Silver right now is kind of flat, $26.36 an ounce. Gold is sitting at $22.89. Now, that's kind of interesting, baby, because just Let me take a fast peek. You got to bear with me. I've got my eyes are going wacky. Oh, I'm not happy about this, let me tell you. Let's see. Silver was 27.26. Earlier in the day, it's now 26.36. That's down like 90 cents since this morning, okay? Gold is currently sitting at... Come on. I can't do this fast enough. Gold is currently sitting at roughly $22.90. Early this morning, it was $23.36. Okay, understand something. I'm not complaining. Not one bit.
Oh, my God, it's all over. Gold's going to tank now. Oh, honey, we never should have gone to Costco and bought all that stuff. Oh, speaking of Costco, we'll get to there in a minute.
But all of this is simple. Gold snaps a five-week win streak. But the bull run is not over yet. Gold snapped a five-week winning streak on Friday, but the yellow metal's bullish run likely isn't over as tailwinds, including central bank demand, have more room to go just as the tide of outflows from gold exchange-traded funds are starting to turn. Gold prices rose 0.3% to $2,348.75, but they took heavy losses earlier this week. Following easing Middle East tensions after the Iran-Israel showed little appetite to escalate their tit-for-tat exchange, I'm not getting pornographic. Those are the exact words in the column. The path ahead for gold prices is set to be choppy, but likely leans toward higher highs rather than a reversal. Morgan Stanley says that forecasting the odds are more in favor of its bull case scenario, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. We're getting ready to enter the month of May tomorrow, right? What's tomorrow? Hooray, hooray. It's the 1st of May. Commie day. Simple. Gold always comes down in May and June. I've watched this for years. I don't get excited about whether it's up, down, or all over the place, but there's an interesting article that I've got posted on Sierra Madre. Costco shoppers have been hit with a stark warning after investing money in gold bars. Well, the first thing to remember with Costco is, as a rule, there are some who pay in cash. There are some that whip out their debit cards, their credit cards that have been approved by Costco. You know, they got a Costco credit card, too. Who's keeping records and what kind of purchases are being reported to whom? I don't like buying like that, okay? Costco shoppers have been snapping up gold and silver bars in record numbers, but an expert warns that many are making a big mistake when it comes to investing in the precious metals. But if you're considering getting into the gold rush, we've got some important advice. Gold should be viewed, my friends, as a long-term savings vehicle rather than a fast track to profit. You don't buy physical gold to flip a profit. You buy it to store wealth and to protect what you've earned. It's that simple. You're trading out your dollars for a physical asset outside of the banking system. And right now, the more money I can keep out of the banking system, the better off it'll be. Stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes. Oh, yeah, Kim. I love it. Stay with us. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, you know, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Sidetracked with something. Jeff Bennett, second half hour. Almost forgot something. I've got a couple things to take care of before we finish up this hour. I receive emails every day from, let's just say it's a competitor. But I have massive respect for them. I knew the founder. I knew the father, who unfortunately wound up in jail, died. Amazing man. Used to do a lot of preparedness expos with him. And this piece that came in early this morning,
The Fed's game, the Federal Reserve, the Fed's game of make-believe has come to an end. Now, think about this. Policymakers have a terrible habit of solving problems by pretending that they don't exist, right? I mean, that's how they solved the bank crisis last year. But as we're going to point out in here in a few minutes, the fundamental problems don't ever go away. And now that the Fed has stopped pretending, we already have our first bank failure. Oh, yeah, it's barely been a year since the 2023 bank crisis in which several large banks, including Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, failed. And back then, it was written that the bank failures were not over, and there would be more. Yeah, it's been quiet for a good portion of the last year. Banking system's been kind of pretty calm, thanks in large part to an emergency program that the Federal Reserve created to bail out other troubled banks. They called it the BTFP. I could turn that into something rather pornographic sounding, but the government does pretty well. They call it the Bank Term Funding Program. Essentially expired a few weeks ago, by the way. In other words, there's no more emergency lending to troubled banks. A month later, we've witnessed our first casualty, the Pennsylvania-based Republic First. Now, that's not to be confused with First Republic, which failed last year. Republic First was shut down by regulators this last Friday afternoon. Oh, Republic First had the same issues as the others that failed last year. You know, too many unrealized bond losses on their balance sheet. Wait a minute. I mean, the banks are investing in bonds? The money that you and I deposit into the banks, they take our money and invest it into bonds? What? James bonds? Or maybe that's Gary U.S. bonds? Ah, you're too young to remember who he was. Ah, man, 2.25 to 3. Yeah, that guy. So, unrealized bond losses. So, okay, just like Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, etc. last year, Republic Bank, or Republic First, had used their customers' deposits to buy U.S. Treasury bonds in 2021 and 2022, back when the bond prices were at all-time highs. So by early 23, the situation reversed. Bond prices had plummeted. Even supposedly safe and stable U.S. Treasury bonds had fallen substantially in price, and banks were sitting on huge losses. Now, remember that bond prices fall when interest rates rise. So when the Fed jacks up the interest rates from 0 to 5% in an attempt to control inflation, they were simultaneously creating huge losses in the bond market, which meant big losses for the banks. Silicon Valley was just the tip of the iceberg. Oh, yeah, plenty of other banks like Bank of America, they'd racked up enormous bond losses. In fact, the total unrealized losses in the banking sector last year alone amounted to $620 billion. You know, the Fed knew they had an enormous problem on their hands. So they created this bank term funding program, which was basically a giant game of make-believe. So through the BTFP, banks were allowed to borrow money from the Fed using their cratering bond portfolios as collateral. But instead of valuing the bonds at the actual market price, everyone simply pretended that the bonds were still worth 100 cents on the dollar.
100 cents on the dollar. Anybody who's been a gold buyer for a lot of years or in the industry or has any understanding of economics realizes, forget the 100 cents on the dollar. The dollar's worth 90, you know, it's worth 2 cents compared to what it was worth 120 years ago. So in other words, the banks just made up prices for their assets. Or is that made up prices for their asses? I'm not sure which. But the Fed allowed them to do it. You know, it's ironic that a certain former president is on trial in New York City for inflating the value of his assets, even though banks were inflating the value of their bonds through the BTFP. Fed manages to prevent any further embarrassing bank failures last year by sprinkling this magical fairy dust across the banking system. But now the BTFP has expired, it's become obvious that problems in the banking system have not gone away. Republic First failure just a few days ago is just one symptom, my friends. Think about it. Bond prices are still down because interest rates remain much higher than they were in 2021 and 22. And the banks are still sitting on massive unrealized losses. And now if the Fed stopped playing make-believe, the bank failures have started up all over again. Oh, no, let me not upset you. It's not to say that all banks are in terrible shape. I mean, some banks wisely used the last 12 months to get their financial houses in order. But unfortunately, most did not. Which is why there's still more than $500 billion in unrealized losses in the U.S. banking system. That means that Republic First probably won't be the only failure unless the Fed steps in with its magical fairy dust again. Still more than $500 billion in unrealized losses. How much of that is your money? That's always my concern. We hand over our money to our bank as a deposit and think it's in a little box in the back room waiting for us to take it or leave it. But they take that money, go out and invest it in some U.S. crap. Also, bear in mind, by the way, the losses from their U.S. Treasury portfolios aren't the only problem in the banking system. Oh, no, my friends. Plenty of banks are sitting on huge potential losses from loans they made on office properties. I don't think the scope of this problem is anywhere near the '08 financial crisis, which brought down some of the world's largest banks, not even close. But the reality is there's still a lot of banks with a lot of unrealized losses. And the biggest one of all happens to be, oh my God, the Federal Reserve? According to its own financial statements just released last month, the Fed's total unrealized losses are almost $1 trillion. Oh, $948.4 billion, to be more precise. And the vast majority of those unrealized losses come from U.S. Treasury notes. So just like Silicon Valley Bank and Signature and First Republic and now Republic First, the Federal Reserve has rendered itself completely insolvent. In fact, total Federal Reserve capital is just $51 billion versus $948 billion in losses. That means that the Fed is insolvent 19 times over. Think about that, my friends. The largest, most important central bank in the world, the steward of the global reserve currency, is completely insolvent on a market-to-market basis. You'd think that that'd be front-page news, but no one ever talks about it. No one even wants to talk about it. Of course, plenty of people will insist that it doesn't matter. Just like they insist that the national debt doesn't matter. But this is just more absurd fantasy. I mean, look at the facts. The FDIC's published reports show more than $500 billion in unrealized losses in the U.S. banking sector. The Federal Reserve, which in theory would bail out the banking system, they're insolvent by $900 billion. And the U.S. government, which would bail out the Fed, is insolvent by more than $50 trillion. It's just debt on top of debt on top of debt. Losses on top of losses on top of losses. Well, just like the BTFP, everyone wants to play a giant game of make-believe and pretend that the Fed's solvency is not a problem, that the U.S. government's enormous debt is not a problem. But then you see, on the contrary, there are huge challenges. And the ultimate consequence is going to be the loss of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency. I pray your freedom, my friends. Unbelievable. The Fed's game is coming to an end. Sickening. Absolutely sickening.
Do you get it, Jack?
Now, side issue for a few minutes, because it's important. Several days ago, I published an interesting piece on Federal Observer called Point Blank. It was one of my old articles that I had published several years ago. All of a sudden, the YouTube video was blocked, shut down. So I went to see if I could find the video elsewhere, and son of a gun, I came across a different one. It was far more profound. And it asks the question, whose land is it, Palestine or Israel? And this documentary that we published looks at this issue with old footage. It's quite profound. I'm not going to try to read the print. You can go read it yourself. But something really interesting came out of all this. Between emails and texts from readers and one of them was from a guy named Mark, who stated that Jeff in March and April of 2002 did two all-encompassing shows on this very topic, Touch of Evil and Cast a Giant Shadow. And Mark was suggesting that you get the transcript from me because it'll help you immensely on this conundrum. Now, I'll get to that whole transcript business in a minute. Because of the direction of the video, and because of some of the commentary that I published along with it, one of my regular writers, a man whose work I've shared with you a long time, Justin O. Smith, took a series of his older columns that he's written, 10, 12 years ago, which in effect support Israel. I'm giving you the simplicity of it. One of them is titled The Jews' Valid Claim or Beneath Islamic Propaganda. Another article, Recognition of Reality, A Historical Injustice Corrected. That one he did in 2017. Another one called A Righteous War Against Hamas Terrorism, which he published in May of 2021. Now, I don't know if I published these, if he submitted these to Kettle Moraine or not. It has raised some very interesting ire by listeners. There's a program I did a month or so ago where I got into some discussion in this program about Israel. And unfortunately, listeners, in many cases to the program, pick and choose what they want to hear. They don't listen to the entirety of a program. And so I got kind of reamed out because, oh, you're supporting the Jews, you son of a bitch, blah, 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 blah. And this is the mentality I'm getting with some emails and texts and some phone calls. And you think about the comment that Mark had left about this program I did back in 2002. And it was a two-parter, two totally... There were related issues, but the first one was called Cast a Giant Shadow, which, as you know, I'm an old movie freak. Cast a Giant Shadow is the title of a movie from probably 1967, starring Kirk Douglas. Yul Brynner had a part in it. Some other people, a couple of gals. Angie Dickinson was in it. She played Kirk Douglas' wife. But then Kirk Douglas's character had an affair with a Jewish gal over in Israel, because this all had to do with, in effect, the founding of the modern-day Israel in 1948, et cetera, et cetera. Well, one thing has led to another. I have spent the last 2 days putting untold amount of work into the original script that I used for that two-hour series all those years ago. I've still got the script. Many of you know that I made that kind of stuff available many years ago, copies of CDs, audio tapes, etc. As I mentioned earlier in the program, I will not be in tomorrow because I've got this midday appointment with my cardiologist. And it's very rare that that happens, but I made a decision that we're going to re-air. And we did it. Mike and I talked last night. We did it probably 5-6 years ago here on RBN. But to me, it has got greater importance now because of the ongoing crap that's going on in that part of the world and our continued involvement with it. And, of course, this column we've got published at Federal Observer called Whose Land Is It, Palestine or Israel? Well, it gets very interesting because one's biblically based, allegedly, and the other one is historically based. I've shared with you, I had years ago saw maps that I wish to God I'd bought one of them, and maybe I did, that allegedly was a map of the 1100s showing the so-called nation of Palestine. Israel wasn't even listed on that map. Wasn't even crazy. So tomorrow, we're going to be running this entire two-hour series, Cast a Giant Shadow. And Mike at RBN and I had a long talk about it. He's really interested in this. When we're done, I'm not going to release the article itself until we finish with the entire project tomorrow. I will then, and I've already submitted him fresh discs, the original discs, so that he doesn't have to go digging through the RBN records to find when we last ran it and dig it out, etc. I've sent 2 one-hour discs. I've got a couple of quick things he's got to look at. And 4:56? Oh, that's your time. Am I doing something crazy here? Oh, okay. Yes, okay, 4:56. That's your time. All right, that'll be 3:56 my time. Okay, so, simple terms. Once we're done with this, the entire original script with all the links, everything that we've got, will be published back on federalobserver.com. However, Mike wants to pull this thing over and make it available on the RBN site. Maybe it'll be a link coming back to my site. I'm not sure. But we are going to ensure that the entire project, as was originally used, the entire script, it's not just a script, you'll understand that, and both hours of this presentation will be available on that. You're going to be able to go to the website, download, do everything. It's time. I'm sick and tired of the crap and the lies and deceit about what's going on in Israel. Hey, we got the Hamas, we got Gaza, we got Palestine, we got that. Forget it. There's nothing but hate. It's all con games. It's all lies and deceit. So join us tomorrow. You're going to find it profound. Coming up next hour, going in a different direction. Got to lighten things up once in a while, you know, a little bit. You mind? I think we're about ready to break for music. Stick around. We'll be back in a few for the second hour, tonight's Perspectives on America. My clock says you're past 4:50.
I've got good news to shout in your ears. The long-lost dollar has come back to the fold. With silver you can turn your dreams to gold. Oh, we're in the money, we're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money, the sky is sunny. Oh man, depression, you are through, you done us wrong. Oh, we never see headline about red line today. And when we see the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye. Oh, we're in the money, we're in the money, the sky is sunny. Oh man, depression, you are through, you done us wrong. Oh, we never see headline about red line today. And when we see the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye. Oh, we're in the money. Come on, my honey. Let's lend it, spend it, send it rolling around.
Boy, we're in the money. I say we're in the money. We got a lot of what it takes to get along. And so we're in the money. Look up, the skies are sunny. Oh, man, depression, you are through. You've done us wrong. We never see a headline about red line today. And when we see the landlord, we look that guy right in the eye. We're in the money. Come on, honey.
I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.